got fucking Doc Ock arms in front of our face. What do you mean? What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Happy New Year to you, Greg.
Happy New Year to you. What's your New Year's resolution? Everybody, you two can go home. Me and Nick got it from here. Don't worry about
it. I got a banger for you, but here, it wasn't until right now that I really kind of put this together. My New Year's resolution is to show just the littlest bit of ankle.
At what point does it just become the shin, though?
I mean, that's for the nice people out there on patreon.com/kindoffunny to decipher.
We can go to Wiki Ankle.
Did you ever respond, Andy Cortez, did you ever respond to my mom's tweet? Because I was so proud of that, and I don't think I ever saw a response from you.
I think I got, I was with family, so no.
All right, fair enough.
And I also just didn't really understand it. Because
you were like, do you need help catching some mons, as in Pokemons?
And also, it was a late tweet on your end.
Yeah, well,
meaning it was even later for me in Central time.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can read; they come in a thread. Like, you can see what I was responding.
Yeah, but I think I saw it, and I was like, "I'm gonna let this one live. I'm just gonna let this."
Olive party in the chat. Got it, Mon Pubis. You know what I'm talking about.
I saw that, and I was just like, "I don't really know what this is referring to."
Which part don't you?
Mon Pubis is what I was.
Yeah, you know what a Mon's Pubis is, right?
No, I have no idea what a Mon's Pubis is.
Well, Google it one time. You know what I mean? See what's up.
Mon's Pubis.
Is that what it's called?
Is it pubis?
M-O-N-S.
No.
M-O-N-S.
Pubis is a horrifying collection of letters.
It's yeah, for sure. You know, it's a medical terminology for not, it's like not the vagina, but above that.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Where the
above that, but below
Jesus,
the,
God.
See what I mean? The below
the pelvic mound?
Yeah, the pelvic mound. There you go. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh,
yeah.
The Mon's Pubis.
And so when Andy, when I was like, I'm playing the Pokemon. I'm having a lot of great times with the Pokemon. Andy was like, I can help you catch some Mons. And I'm like, there's only one Mons I care about, Mon's Pubis. And that's a great tweet. There it is. See? Need any cool Mons? Just one. How the Mon's Pubis became the new thigh gap. This is the Sydney Morning Herald. They're doing the real journalism over there.
Oh, the articles from our birthday updated on February 16th, 2015. I think what threw me off about it is I sent that tweet at 11:15 p.m., which was maybe, if you scroll down, Barrett, I'm not sure when Greg sent it, but it did seem like a while after.
Here, hold on. You click on it. There you go. I sent it at 12:38 a.m.
Okay, so it was about an hour.
That was a late tweet. I'm sorry. Do I have to turn my alerts on for you to have a conversation with you, the man who claims to be my best friend?
I guess it was just like really, really late for me at that time.
That's true. That's what, 2 a.m., 2:30 for you?
And I happened to see, the first image I see is the word thigh gap. And I thought, this isn't really worth responding to. Like, all I asked was, oh, do you want some Pokemon? Because
you're
playing
Pokemon. But it's one of those things, like, I see people all the time on the internet fall all over these morons for their clever word game. That's a dynamite word game right there.
I don't know if it is, because I don't know what it is.
Mon's Pubis.
How can you make it any more clear,
Andy? I just talked all about the Mon's Pubis. You know what I mean?
What's the second evolution of the Mon's Pubis?
I mean, I just want to point out that I just had a 40-year-old man show me his phone. There was a medical diagram of a body. Point to the little X that represents the anus and giggle. Useless.
Send it around. No context. Just slack it to everybody. Don't worry.
Good Lord.
I said your name and I said the whole thing, so I can do that. You want the rest of it? You want like the whole Hispanic Carthage of Texas?
I would like to add on to it, actually. Is it rootin' tootin' 3-point shooting?
Ooh.
Race winning.
He's trying to take back the rootin' tootin' thing. He's like, oh,
Hispanic
Carthage of Texas.
I'm making Latino heat. Clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globe trotting, head shotting, rootin' tootin', 3-point shooting. I do like it. Yeah. Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
That's a resume and a cover letter.
Because rootin' tootin' was a call. There was no response to it, you know?
Yeah.
Globe trotting, head shotting. Right? There was always like there was a little answer. Yeah.
That does work. That's really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm at that point with the Slack where I was like, do I start a new Slack thread to find Andy's name, or do I just send it to whatever one Andy's already on, which happens to be him and Snowbike Mike?
I mean, you know.
Well, the answer is that one. Okay, here we go.
And rounding out the quartet, ladies and gentlemen, he's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
I get emails from Forbes that I'm sure Blessy gets now, too, that these motherfuckers, they're just trying to scam the hell out of you. Like, oh, you're a 30 under 30 lister. You get to buy this exclusive merch. And it's the most expensive shit ever. And I'm like, first off, who the fuck would walk around wearing, like, this Forbes shit? I mean, I would, but... not for fucking like $100.
What does it say? Like,
it's just horribly designed. Like, it's like the most generic, you looks like you're buying it at Fisherman's Wharf, like tourist shit. But it'll just be like Forbes Lister or something. It's as bad as you can.
That sounds like something Mike would wear.
We could make our own.
We could. We could
sell it to Forbes 30 under 30 people.
Yeah. Well, make it look cool. Be like, hey, do you want that merch or do you want the cool looking Forbes merch? And they'd say, why don't we just make our own?
Yeah. They won't do it. What if we also did it for a future class for Game Awards? But we don't put Game Awards anywhere on it. It's just future class. You know what I mean?
Oh, I like that.
Jeff Ely doesn't want to sell shirts to people he's giving accolades to.
A PlayStation controller next to it or something.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever.
Maybe it's gaming related. I don't know. Just, sitting there.
Exactly. Whatever. It's just how it is. It's what it is.
Yeah.
Let's address the elephant in the room. Probably that last week of work before we went on the 2-week hiatus, I ran out of hairspray and I still haven't bought anymore. And I hate it.
I have hairspray.
Where?
In my desk.
Okay, I thought you were just going for like a more
subdued flat look.
No, I don't want to look flat. Andy, you complimented me so much on how good I looked when I started doing my hair.
You want to get zhuzhed?
No, I will say
this. Yeah, zhuzh me up.
Over the break, there were pictures of you where you were sort of like waking up. It was like Christmas stuff.
Sure.
And you get that like Kramer level dad hair.
Yeah.
And it's so cool looking.
Thank you.
Like it flips like this and it's like, it reminds me a lot of, stick with me because this is a stretch for you. Egon's hair in that Ghostbusters cartoon that people no one really watched.
Yeah,
It looks like that. You know, it's very like successful. You know,
Maurice like LaMartian.
Very cool, Maurice
LaMarsh.
But the Mon.
God, I
have a little hair update for you guys that I don't think I've told you about. I hinted at it on a podcast while back.
Growing it out.
But no, I need a haircut. But about 6 months ago, maybe a little longer than that at this point, went to the homie Yusuf's house and met a whole bunch of cool people, including this guy named Steven, who was a game writer.
Steven.
Nice guy. Cool dude.
What's Steven's last name?
Rhodes?
No, okay, not Steven.
Steven Rhodes, I think. Anyways, super cool guy. And I looked at his hair and I'm like, you got some dope ass hair. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but he had that Pidgeotto look that I've always been trying to get. And I was like, what's going on? Like, how do you do this? Because I've used the same hair product for years. And he's like, I learned the secret from Zach Ryan. And I'm like, Zach Ryan has fucking amazing hair. He's like, he doesn't use hair gel or pomade or whatever. Straight up lotion. You just put lotion in your hair.
No, I don't like that.
I've been doing it for 6 months.
So
lotion to thicken.
It's great.
Is it?
You've been doing it for this 6 months. This is just lotion in your hair.
Lotion.
Do you?
Hold on. Andy's judging me.
You've never used a pomade before, right? Like
I used pomade.
It up.
Okay. I used to use pomade for a long time.
So now you're just doing it lotion.
Switch to the lotion, and it makes it so much better. It's like nicer to just deal with. Like even like rubbing my fingers through it, it feels nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pretty damn happy with it, y'all. Pro tip.
Going to do me next.
And then if you like go on a trip or something and you forget your hair product. You're not alone.
Here's my thing with the lotion, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's putting me in dandruff territory, no? Because won't the lotion just harden my hair and then fall out and it looks like I have dandruff?
And people go, you're jerking off when you're doing
it. I don't know.
I don't know. They won't see the dandruff and think it was jerking off lotion. They'll just think I have dandruff, Andy.
I don't think the dandruff, I wear a lot of black. That hasn't been a problem. Pomeranians are a problem.
Yeah, palms are definitely a problem.
Your back is all fucked up.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole
It looks
thing,
like it looks like you flattened out the dog and it's just been riding your back for a while.
It's so weird. Moose, he's the big fluffy guy. He doesn't
get you nothing.
There's nothing. Toretto, little tiny dude, motherfucker, I swear to God, leaves his own body size and hair around the house every day. And then it ends up on me.
I'm so jealous.
The other thing is, I don't know what they did over break to the cameras, what Kevin and Barrett did. I know they do a lot of stuff. They do great work in here. But they added some kind of filter that makes my head shinier. Because I had a burrito today, and I shouldn't be this shiny, though. That's oily.
You had a burrito?
Oil. Yeah, I had a burrito.
Let me see. Can you cut to me?
That's cool. But I didn't know that affected your shine.
I knew it. I fucking knew you were going to do that. God.
Nah, sometimes you're just like that, Greggy.
Am I?
And it's weird too because like you and Tim are the whitest people.
Yeah.
On cameras.
I can get you some of those little strips.
And but
it's never been an issue until right now.
I'm
you're
pink.
Different types of white. Yeah.
Pink, sure.
So it's like weird to try to balance you two like when you're both on like a games daily. You know.
Yeah. We also have the cameras balanced a little bit to take some of the redness out because we had some redness issues with the old cameras. We're not gonna point fingers. We're not looking at people.
No. Me and Tim are looking at each other.
Do we all hear this?
Rumble in the sky? And I'm often waiting for the alien invasion and or the avalanche or the, you know, whatever's going to kill us one day. Just rapture.
Yeah.
And so it's always that moment of like, I would love for it to happen on a live stream.
Well, dude, that
Nick
sound
just disappears.
Growing up my whole life in San Francisco, like I've had my fair share of earthquakes. That sound is the like
89,
the precursor. You hear that. And it's like almost like the domino effect of the earthquakes coming to you.
Sure.
But I guess we're not coming here, so it's okay.
Jen signed up for this app or whatever that, I don't know, University of Berkeley. Somebody's doing or whatever with the precognition, like, yo, there's about to be an earthquake shit or whatever.
Okay.
And she signed up after the one of the bigger ones months ago. We forgot all about it. And we were in bed over break. Yeah, it, like,
dude,
2 in the morning. But, like, we've never heard the alarm go off. We've never actually heard. And it just was like, earthquake imminent, take cover. Get, we're like, what the fuck? And then it stops and there's no earthquake. And so we were just like, this is more terrifying than being woken up by the earthquake. Because it was then it was like 30 seconds of like, is it coming? Is it happening? Do we what? And then it was a minute of, I guess it's over.
Any
and then
second now.
Jen finally looked at her phone. She's like, oh, it was way north. It was up in Humboldt County. Like, it wasn't us, but it was like, you know what I mean?
That was a big one.
It was a big one.
My grandma called me and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, where was the
those
earthquake?
Ones always crack me up. My mom does that too. I'm like, oh my gosh, did you feel the earthquake? I'm like, no, where
are you talking like a couple days into our break?
Yeah, somewhere over the last
few weeks. No, I felt that motherfucker. That one was
the Humboldt one was way too far away for us.
There was one like near Berkeley-ish, Oakland-ish that happened like at maybe 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And was like one of the stronger ones that woke me up living here. Yeah. It was like my room was a rockin', dude. And the neighbors were not downstairs banging.
Your room wasn't knocking, and we didn't come knocking.
No.
Ignacio Rojas has the dumbest hill to die on. You don't have real earthquakes over there. Our earthquakes would eat your earthquakes. Take the hint from God, Ignacio, all right? He's trying to shake you out of being a shitty person, but here you are just spewing more fucking shit. And I got to put up with it, you know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
That's it. I'm not going to feel sad next time you get knocked down by an earthquake. Wow. You're out there riding your little skateboard, Ignacio Rojas, and it shakes and you fall over. It's not on me.
You fall into the big
classic Ignacio, just him out there on his skateboard.
I'm sick of this kid ollieing and double ollieing.
Good old triple ollie.
He's got them heel kicks and shit. Fuck him.
Our tragedies are worse and your tragedies. What's up, y'all? I wanted to
talk this is
about
the kind of funny podcast each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table. So we have to work on this one. We have to work on that one. Each coming to hang out with each other about whatever it is they want to hang out about. If you want to hang out with us, why not go to patreon.com/kindoffunny? Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could tell us our tragedies aren't as bad as yours, like Ignacio Rojas, who's watching live on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, over there, you get each and every episode of the podcast ad-free. You could get 38 bonus episodes of content only on Patreon, including Daily Gregways. That's right, they're daily again. And a whole bunch of other stuff. And have a great time and support the show and get the physical items and get the posters and get the things and do all the stuff that only patreon.com/kindoffunny could do. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand spanking new episode of your 4 best friends hanging out. Housekeeping for you, we are celebrating 8 years of Kind of Funny this week.
Woo!
Of course, we kind of went big with the spare bedroom just a couple months ago, so we're keeping it a little bit more low key. And on Friday, we're doing an all day stream, right? That's the deal. We're hanging out. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Come hang out with us and have
playing
a great time.
Some games. Maybe the wheel spins will be back. Maybe they won't. We'll see.
Ooh.
I'll get shocked by getting kissed.
If that wasn't enough for you, it's time for Kind of Funny to declare its Game of the Year 2022. And this year, we're doing it in a very cool, different way. Monday, January 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific on YouTube.com/KindOfFunnyGames and podcast. No, that's not right. YouTube.com/KindOfFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindOfFunnyGames. We will be live with me, Tim, Andy, Mike, Paris, Blessing, Janet.
Barrett's running it.
I'll still chime in.
Kevin's also helping to run.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
It's a huge day for a giant live episode of the Gamescast as we go through and do our usual top 10 games of the year leading up to Kind of Funny's Game of the Year. Same as always, we all put in our weighted top 10 lists. We don't know who won. We don't know what's happening. We'll find out what happens from there and have a great time.
But just to be clear here, Janet and Paris will be here.
Yeah. They're here.
They're here.
We're dragging them
on the wall.
Here.
They're going to be in the room at the desk. Whole bunch of cool stuff early next week when it comes to PS I Love You, XCast, Games Daily. You're going to be seeing a lot of Janet and Perry.
We're making the wall larger.
No, it's pretty big. Longer it's desk. As big as it goes. Yeah. No, it's as big as it goes.
At this point, I'm hoping the roof does not cave in. That'll be good. If we get through that week without the roof caving in or the ants eating us, I think it's going to be okay.
I propose last minute change. Little double-decker seating.
Mm-hmm.
We have one desk.
Oh, nice.
Put another desk on top. We're almost like Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. Are you a top bunk or bottom
I've
bunk?
Always wanted
I'd be
to do
top
that.
Bunk.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood top Squares? Bunk. Oh, yeah.
Be up there.
You know what I mean?
I fell off the top bunk one time. Really hard. Like, I'm talking like elementary school kid. it's the bunk beds. My brother would sleep on the bottom. And then
your brother wiped boogers on them, and then you stepped in them coming down. There's always a big fear of mine with bunk beds.
Excuse me? He's a father.
Yeah, like
he's a child.
There was no context that could make sense to bunk beds.
I think it was, if I remember correctly, I think when I went to college, like the bunk bed we had, like it was like, oh, somebody, not my room.
But I mean, where are they putting the book? Like, I can imagine, like,
on the rail, on the rail of like the thing. So what you were going up?
Jesus Christ!
So, and then you'd be scared of slipping out, like it's Vaseline.
No, just because it's gross. I don't want to touch boogers.
Oh, so it wouldn't good be point. Causing the less.
Oh no, I'm not gonna fall.
There wouldn't be less friction.
The floor is afraid of me, not the other way around. Don't worry about that.
All right. One time I was on the top floor or top bunk, and then there was like maybe a foot ish, maybe a 2 feet width in between the bunk beds and like dresser drawers, and on top of the dresser drawers, I was putting like a toy up there. I was reaching over because, you know, at night I have all my fucking toys and we're doing wrestling. Yeah. We're doing like who's battling for the championship belt or whatever. And I reached over to get something and I just fucking ate it. And I fell in between the bunk beds and the dresser drawers. And I'm just like rumbling on the way down. It was loud and it was violent, dude. That shit was awful.
That's the kind of shit that if you did now, it would take years to recover from.
Oh, yeah.
Not months, like, you would never be the same.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my head was, like bumbling and all, like fucking Plinko, you know, going down. Yeah. It was really, really bad.
Did y'all have roommates in college? Like, or did you get a forced, like, stranger roommate? Yeah.
I didn't have a forced stranger. My buddy signed us. I think I told this story a long time ago, but I stayed in the dorms my freshman year.
By yourself, though?
No, my buddy Ryan, he's the guy that got me the job at IGN.
Okay.
We've been friends since, like, junior high, and he was like, dude, do you want a dorm together? I was like, absolutely. He goes, cool. And then this was, I mean, I wasn't as anal or attentive about stuff as I am now. Because looking back, I'd be like, oh my God, current Nick would freak the fuck out.
Do you think that's why you are the way
things like this, I think, added to that. But he was like, hey, I signed us up for the dorms. Don't worry about it. I was like, cool. Not realizing there was a difference between dorms. Like, who would even think? You don't have context for that. And he goes, don't worry, dude. I got us. I signed us up for the academic dorms so we could have plenty of time to study and no one was going to party. Meanwhile, my other friend lived in the theater dorms. And I was like, It was like the
they
difference
were
between
and sucking.
It's like working at IBM in the 70s and then going to fucking Woodstock. It was just like chaos over there. Everyone was like partying. They're like, this is the best school ever. Meanwhile, you'd come back to my dorm and it was like crickets at night. It was the fucking worst.
That sounds kind of awesome, actually.
Well, that, like, looking back on it now, once you say that, I'm like, 43-year-old soon to be Nick
would love that.
Would fucking love that. And it's also bonkers to me that I could sleep in the same room as another human being for a whole year and have zero problems with that. Because now I'd be like, I can't do it.
That is crazy to think about. Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. And then all throughout college, the rest of the time, I had roommates as well.
I visited an ex-girlfriend at her dorm when she lived in the same dorm as
Lady Gaga.
It was a shared room sort of situation, like two beds in one.
Yeah, that's what I
and then like the shared restrooms as well. Very awkward. All of it very awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really understand the situation, and suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm going to sleep in the bed with you, my girlfriend, but there's another lady right there. Like, well, it's very, very awkward, yeah.
The only bunk bed situation I've ever been in.
Wait, did you get it on, though, with the woman in the, not the new woman, but your girlfriend?
Yeah.
With the woman in the room?
In the room, yeah.
Also, when's the last time you thought about the
I was on my way to asking the question, have you ever jerk off in these college dorms room with the other guy over there? Not like looking at you. He's not a participant.
Trying to secretly do it.
Exactly, because I remember jerking off on the top bunk with my stranger roommate below me, you know
Good
what I
Lord.
Mean? He was asleep.
Like, how do I cover up the noise? Like, just coughing the whole time.
Oh my God! Oh no!
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God.
Holy shit! This is not how I wanted to start.
Welcome back,
this
everyone.
Year,
I hope the fidelity of these new podcast mics is spot on.
Oh my God!
I need distractions. Throwing change on the ground.
Holy crap! Good Lord.
No, man, you did not do that. You did not do that. You found either moments with their schedule where they were away or you just went into the bathroom and did it.
No,
bathroom stalls. But it was, I wasn't in a co-ed.
See, the bathroom stalls.
My buddy, my other friend that lived in the other dorms, because Irvine has two, they had Middle Earth and I forget what the
They called it Middle Earth? That's cool.
Literally, Irvine, you would have loved it, Andy. It was called Middle Earth and he was in the Shire.
That's so sick.
It was like every dorm building was named after something from Tolkien.
So cool.
Mine was like, it's called Mesa Court, I think, so it was all just Spanish
fucking
names.
Boring, dude.
It was pretty boring. But I had no idea. I hadn't read Lord of the Rings. So I was like, what a weird thing to call something. But they had co-ed bathrooms.
Yeah.
So it was like the dorms were all mixed up. And so you'd be like.
Allie McBeal style bathrooms.
Yeah, but it was weird. Because like, the first time you go take a dump, you're like. And you hear like a female voice walk in. You're like. And everything just kind of tightens up. You're like, well, now I'm here until.
I just didn't care. I just kept going. We did not have co-ed dorm. Well, I did not live in a co-ed dorm. Maybe the upper floors were. I was on an all men floor.
We had wings. It was like all the wings were like all men, and then like the other wing was like was women.
I think it was broken up by floors, but it doesn't matter for the story. We were an all boys floor or whatever, and we had the big bathroom with a million bathroom stalls and a million showers or whatever. And I remember one dude's girlfriend and friend were staying a whole week or whatever, and we had partied with them and they were cool or whatever. But like. I wasn't like close to this guy. Like you see him passing, you know they're there.
You weren't jerking off in front of him.
No, I respected this person. I wouldn't jerk off 4 feet above.
Bombs away.
Oh, my Superman comforter. Anyways,
hey, Greg, you know the elevation rule. You got to be above me to do it.
Anyways, I was taking a dump one time in the bathroom all by myself, like just having a little bit of peace and quiet. And sure as shit, her and a friend walked in there, and she shows like the stall next to me. And I was like, I was here first. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there was something. She's like, oh my God, it smells terrible in here. I'm like, well, I'm taking a shit. And the other friend just left the bathroom. Yeah. You know, she was like, this is an awkward situation, but I didn't care.
Yeah,
I had blue hair. I'll do what I want.
Good for you. Good for you, Greg.
It's wild how much more or how much less comfortable I'd be with situations like that now as I was back then. But even back then, I felt nervous as hell when I wanted to go to the restroom. Like, I don't want to see somebody that I don't know and just be like, hey, what's up, man? Like, even if I'm just brushing my teeth, that just feels like an awkward interaction I want no part of.
I used to feel that way about IGN because it would be like, there's so many people on that floor. Remember, IGN only had like three stalls.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you'd go in there and you just, I'd be like, dude, people know, they know what shoes I'm wearing. Is this going to be an issue? I'd just look down and be like, there's too many people in here. I'm not going to do it. Just hold it.
Remember when we had multiple floors, there'd be you go down to this floor two or whatever.
There was that. You'd go up to like the executive floor and you'd be like, oh, they have the nice toilet paper up there.
Well, I remember you get away from the crowds.
But Brisbane used to have those standalone, like,
oh, yeah, with the shower.
ADA bathrooms.
Yeah.
And there would be always the weird time where you're like, who took a shower?
Charles Onyet. Remember, he would bike to work and then he would shower.
Yeah. You would shower at work.
Yeah. It's the height of luxury. Yeah, that you'd get to work a little sweaty. You're like, I'm gonna take a little shower real quick.
You tell me. I mean, I know there was a brief moment where we considered it here. I forget why we backed out of it because maybe it's just want to get used that much. But
no,
I'd be using
the city was like, you can't do that.
Oh really?
Yeah, we were gonna put a shower in the smaller bathroom, and they were like, well, first we talked about doing it in the bigger bathroom. They're like, no, that has to be ADA compliant, so you can't do anything that's not like that. You need a lot more space. But then the smaller one, we're like, oh, what if we do this? And the city was like, nah, we put the kibosh on that. Because at first, I think they had a shower knob in there, but it was just like there.
Connected to nothing.
No, it was connected, but it was either this bathroom or another one, but it was either, I'm pretty sure there was just a shower, and then there was a drain, and then a toilet and a sink. And it was like, well, if you turn that on, isn't it just going to splash everywhere? But I guess nobody cares.
Yeah, it's that, you know, I'm in a weird spot right now with balance in my work life and my home life, where the shower is a constantly moving piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
I am a morning shower.
Love
my mornings don't have as much time. You can ask Barrett, who gets the text from me every so often of like, I'm going to be 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late. I'll just be there when I'm there. Take an Uber. Like, the shower moves around with the baby schedule, now with the puppy schedule, with the wife schedule. And so I should be showering at night, but I hate showering at night. Because at night, I cross the finish line. It's finally me time, all right? I go look for a bunk bed to
get
jerk
up on the
off.
Top of my bunk bed. And just start spraying and praying.
Some games. I want
What's
to
up,
that.
Tim?
Last
How's the lotion
do,
in your hair?
I don't want to. Gee, I got Tim that special lotion.
Tim, here's the jerk.
Oh, God damn.
But you know, so, I don't want to waste then at the end of it 30 minutes to go shower or whatever. And that includes like, you know, brush showers. Teeth, put hairs in. I hate it. Haircuts, showers, what
Eat
a
haircuts.
Fucking waste of time.
He loves them.
Cutting your
I
nails?
Think that's weird.
Come on.
Haircuts or showers?
Haircut.
Cutting your nails. How haircuts. Is that even?
It's a waste of my time. I don't want to do it. Jesus, if
it
you're listening,
one
Jesus, if you're listening, go have a question and answer session with your father or what he was thinking about this stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know what's really
cutting
weird?
My nails? Why? And also poop. Why can't I just poop a cube?
Why can't I just poop a cube?
Why is it just, my body compresses it perfectly and I'm done. I gotta go in there. Is this gonna be a log? Is it gonna be a shotgun? Nobody knows.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I love. just the lottery system that is pooping, right? You don't know what it's going to be. It's exciting every time.
Clipping nails is a very, very different ballpark than getting a haircut or
even a shower.
Or like, taking a shower, yeah.
Clipping nails, you don't waste nearly as much time, but it's still like, oh, I got to do this.
Now, I will say,
and the other thing too is, where's everybody clipping their fucking nails?
Feel.
Just what are you doing?
Bathroom.
This is easy, but having a lot is
I'll tell you, I clip my nails.
In the sink?
I clip them, no, not into the sink. Either, well, sometimes into the sink or onto the
little countertop.
The countertop. And then I get them all together, and then I wipe them up with a little thing.
I hate when you're cutting, bing, when it shoots off. And I'm like, well, now I'm going to see that.
I got to go after one. I got to go find it.
No, I can only do it on a bunk bed. Let them fall with it.
Yeah.
You know what's a weird thing with cutting nails in our household is I forget which culture from Alyssa, where it's like disrespectful for, I don't know, like elders or something to cut your nails at night. So whenever I try to cut my nails at night, Alyssa always gives me grief because I forget if it's part of her Hawaiian culture or something like that, where it's like disrespectful for elderly people or something like that, or I don't know.
Interesting.
But that's,
so are you elderly in this?
No, but it's like it's disrespectful.
She was
like,
raised, just
our,
not the,
yeah, like our.
Oh God, do it! She won't do it at night. Mm-hmm.
I
get that.
I kind of just do them wherever. Let the chips fall where they may.
Jesus Christ, that's why I find them everywhere.
Every time I'm getting ready to do it, I'm like, you know what I should do? Just go outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some fucking beetle that wants these. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right.
That would help me out. And then I don't got to worry about them shooting any direction. Whatever, shoot. Have
no,
because
the only ones that aren't shooting directions are when I'm doing my toenails. Those are the ones that, like, I have to be very strategic with because I had ingrown toenails when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to be very, very careful with where I'm going, and now I've got a system. I've had a system for the last 15 years or so to where I'm like, all right, I got to cut in here and then dig out or whatever. But those aren't shooting anywhere. The ones that are shooting places are, like, probably my fingernail ones that I...
You got good cuticles.
Thank you.
We've just said the word shooting a lot on this podcast.
I fucking hate it. Shooting, and Nick just gives me this little fucking glance.
Because I saw, interesting you bring that up. I saw a TikTok about cuticles.
Yeah. Where, I have terrible ones, and I never would have thought about my wife calls me out on them all.
When you, what, because here's the thing. I always thought a cuticle was a fucking hangnail.
Oh.
And then I like saw what a cuticle actually is. I was like, oh, that's a cuticle where somebody had gotten a really, really bad
bacterial infection or fungal infection.
Yeah, an infection where, what's it called, where you're like, you're taking away the cuticle by kind of like shaving it off or kind of pushing it in. But they like go super underneath the skin, and then they went way too far with it.
Yeah.
And they ended up like cutting a part of it that ended up just their finger looked ballooned up. It was really, really gross.
I don't like that.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you, the imagery was similar to how I get grossed out when somebody's like, fucking with their eyeballs or like doing like a contact lens. Like, Tim, when I tell you that there was like, it seemed like several millimeters of space in between the skin and the nail that people are doing a procedure with, though. Like, they're like doing a manicure thing.
You don't need that.
And it looks so gross. It looks so gross. Like, but thank you for the compliment.
No problem.
That is the one thing that I cannot get into. Like, I've had my nails done. I've gone to the pedicurist, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the feeling of the clipping. I always think they're gonna clip it too close to my cuticle or the actual like skin itself.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have that feeling where it's like kind of I don't like
it. It's one of those like you don't know my body like I do. I like this may be normal to other clients. Like this is I don't want you to fuck with that part of this nail. Like I do have a special strategy that I take with
Do you ever use a little tool that you pull out a little hook on it? Get in there.
I use the hook thing a lot for my toenails sometimes.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I just go into the little skin, bloop, kind of like pop it out, and then you go,
yeah, you got to get those.
Because if you remember, I had a real bad that's how the ingrown toenail problem started when we were running our weekly 3-mile run during baseball practice. And I ran it all in an ingrown toenail, and I got back, and my sock was suddenly yellow and purple.
Yeah. I hate this episode, everybody, so much.
Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you for not hating it. Our Patreon producers, Jake Holmes, Nathan Lamoth, Monica Boomalang, what is it?
Boomalog.
Monica, you got a great last name. DJ Kento on Twitch, Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, and Casey Andrew. Today we're brought to you by Honey, but we'll talk about that later.
There was a noticeable name missing there that I wanted to make a cover song of.
Just do it now, maybe. Here's the thing. Andy's going to make a cover song of it right now. This name. And that means no matter what, you got to be a Patreon producer next month. And if you're not, Ignacio Rojas has cursed you with an earthquake.
Wow.
Curse
the Chilean.
I also wanted to talk about, do you want me to talk about the cover song first?
Yeah. Why would you also talk about Nine Inch Nails
hurt, but it was going to be Bert and Bert and Meg.
Sure.
I want to Bert you like an animal.
No, it's not that. You can't just insert any song.
Well, what are you going to do?
So I was thinking about it last night, and it was, I will let you down, I will make you hurt, but it was like, your last name is Meg, your first name is Bert. And that was it. That was kind of like the only song.
Great.
And there would be other lyrics that are accompanying it, but DJ I had the core idea.
I burnt my Meg today.
Sure, sure, yeah.
I don't think you guys are
something like that.
Credit to, I want to burnt you like an animal.
I'm with you.
I want to burnt you like an animal.
You know, Lucy James.
Where's it gonna go?
I've met a few people who are into Nine Inch Nails. Mm-hmm. Lucy James, one of them, right? But I've never met someone who just likes Nine Inch Nails. You either fucking love Nine Inch Nails or you're like, they're fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. They're music that's on the radio. Lucy James, you know, every time Elon Musk does something fucking stupid, which is always, and people rightfully call him out on it, right? They put up the Homer taking a bullet for a poo thing, or no, a poo taking a bullet for Homer, whatever. And they're like, you know, weird nerds taking a thing. I'm surprised Lucy hasn't burst through a wall yet to hear that I'm talking shit about Nine Inch Nails. You know what I mean? Because she's one of these people. Trent Reznor at any point is going to be like, everybody put on matching sneakers. We're going to meet the Comet. And they'll all be like, let's go.
They were hardcore. I'm surprised that, I just haven't thought about Nine Inch Nails in a long time. But like Ground 7, remember when that movie came out?
Yeah.
It was like the height of Nine Inch Nails awesomeness.
Was it?
I think
one,
so, yeah.
One of the few bands from Cleveland.
Really?
No, yeah.
Remember the mashup era where like every pop song had to like be mashed up with a different song?
Yeah.
I swear to God, Nine Inch Nails, just because it had that one song, I don't know what the name of it is, but the...
That's I want to fuck you like.
Yeah, I want to fuck you like an animal.
Any rap verse fits over that. Yeah. So it's just like, you want to hear 50 Cent? Here it is. You want to hear Eminem? Here it is.
Yeah, it's just every time I do a rewatch of Rick and Morty, there's like a scene where they play All of Hurt, which is which I always thought was
Johnny Cash.
Them covering Johnny Cash, and it ended up being Johnny Cash covering Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Wait,
he just did it better.
Yeah. Are you for reals?
Yeah. That was like
the Eddie Guerrero tribute song?
Yeah.
Was a cover?
Yeah. But it's Johnny Cash.
But Johnny Cash.
I'm Johnny Cash.
If Johnny Cash covers your song, it's Johnny
Cash. Oh yeah, I know he crushed it. Well, which is why I always thought that like that song at its core, like tone and like everything about the lyrics, just reads like a depressing fucking country song, like a country folk song that maybe Trent Reznor might want to cover later on and have industrial. No, it was always like the opposite. Blew me away. I blew your mind.
Blew my mind.
Well, I like Melissa Hagler. I appreciate that even though we've moved on, Nails is still the topic.
I was thinking that too. I like it. Nine Inch Nails. Those are long.
I will say, over the break, watched almost all of Rick and Morty. I had not watched it, and I was like, you know what? Justin Roiland, we've hung out with him twice now. I think I should probably be somewhat familiar with his work.
Sure.
So I was like, I'll just start watching a couple, and I'd watch the pilot, and it didn't really vibe with me. But the second episode literally caught me. It's the one with the dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is a phenomenal show.
Where are my balls, Pepper? Where are my balls?
That show gets deep.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of BoJack, where if you ever watched BoJack, you're like, this is interesting and kind of a fun commentary, but then it goes down a rabbit hole, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Very, very meta. Very, very cool show. Very cool.
Dude, I'm like probably on like my third rewatch. I'm around like season 3 because I just finished a recent rewatch. And instead of going back to like my usual office or Parks and Rec or whatever the fuck, because I have YouTube TV and it does all of your library of shows for you, I just threw Rick and Morty on again and like, God damn.
Once more around the sun.
It's so fucking funny and like creative.
It's so creative. Very, very deep. Deeper than I would have given it credit for, especially for the first few episodes. And I got to the end of, because I was watching it on Joey's mom's Hulu. And I got to the end.
Is there anything like more infantilizing than having to text Joey and be like, what's the password for the Hulu?
No, I love it. I love it. I picture
you texting her mom and be like, hey, Miss T, what's the...
Do you think that Joey would actually give me her mother's phone number?
Yeah, of course.
Incredible.
Of course.
But I got to the end of season 5 because that's all they have on Hulu. And I was like, shit, this is it. I can't believe there's no more. And then I Googled it. And obviously, this is season 6. I was like, well, shit, I don't know how to watch that. That's a whole other app that I got to figure out. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm still old. I have cable. I could just go and find it. And then so it's on Adult Swim, which is great. So now I'm watching season six. I'm super excited about it.
Dude, there's a recent episode that is dealing with all meta terms of storytelling and like filmmaking and everything. Yeah. And like there's a superhero for every like there's a superhero called like The Twist. Or there's a superhero
the trope or whatever. MacGuffin is, it's got to be a MacGuffin, right?
Yeah, there's something along those lines for sure, but all of them have to deal with
is there a catalyst?
There's like a foreshadowing type person, but all the names are really, really fucking funny and clever. And every time they kind of introduce one and introduce what their power is and how they're affecting everything, it's fucking brilliant, dude. It's so smart and funny. I was watching it with my dad recently. And he was like, what is this show? Like, this is, like, actually really, really funny.
Well, I want to hear about everybody's break. But before then, let me remind you that you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny podcast ad-free. Of course, you get a bevy of bonus content, including 38 exclusive Patreon episodes over there of all sorts of different content, including Gregway, Kind of Feudy, you name it. Remember, of course, all the Patreons are under one roof now. So you go there, you get the stuff for the PSI Love You and the Remember Blanks, the X-Cast. It's all up there on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey's the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past, and we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite websites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site, and if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands of dollars on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
And Tim walked away.
There's a couple of them from Olive Party. Protagonic, there's Mislead. But I'm trying to think of, it's Connie was, I think, her first name. Chad, I need your help. It's so fucking stupid. And it made me laugh out loud of how dumb all these like character kind of names are and everything like that. I'll have Connie Tenuity Error.
That's hilarious.
And she's like, oh, did you not notice that thing there? It looks like there's maybe a continuity error. She like, it's so fucking hysterical, fucking dude. There's
so funny.
That whole episode is just filled with all sorts of dumb shit like that. But dude, it like, what'd you think of the snakes episode?
Hilarious.
Like, I, dude, this, hilarious. The like, and even an episode like Pickle Rick, which Pickle became Rick such a hilarious. Massive meme because of how annoyed a lot of non-Rick and Morty watchers got by the audience, because Pickle Rick kind of became their Hot Topic moment where they got so popular.
And that's also the Szechuan sauce incident.
Is that the Szechuan sauce episode?
Yeah.
Because I'll be
it's
honest
a different
with you,
episode, same season.
Same season.
I had heard about that, and then Justin talked about it again, obviously. It's like it was a big moment that was kind of bad. So I'm thinking like, oh shit, this is going to be, the whole episode's going to be about this. It's like, Five minutes of the episode, he references it one, and then they throw the joke about it, and that was it.
Yeah, and it's moments like that that kind of like the audience co-opts and makes really, really annoying and aggravating. So that turns a lot of the general public against Rick and Morty, and they go, "Oh, that show's fucking annoying. Look at how annoying the fan base is." But like the episode Pickle Rick, I rewatched again last time. I'm like, dude, this episode is
Pickle
so
Rick's
fucking
awesome.
Funny, dude.
Pickle Rick's really funny. I actually really vibe with a lot of the really meta ones. Like the clones episode, where like, are we a clone? We don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
Mr. Meeses.
I just finished the Die Hard episode, where they're doing a Die Hard.
Oh, they're getting it.
So I was like, this is actually pretty fucking genius. Yeah, pretty much any Die Hard episode.
Yeah.
That's why, obviously, Ultimate Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man, because they have the Die Hard episode.
I thought you were about to say the Kind of Funny animated.
No, that's what inspired.
Inspired.
Kind of, oh, Ultimate Spider-Man's Die Hard spoof inspired your spoof. I got it.
I was like, we could do that
it.
Too and take 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a typo or if I'm so far out of the world. I want you to understand. Chance Carter says, I have a Pickle Rick Dab Pike, and I love her. Can anyone decipher
dab
what that
pipe,
is?
A maybe? Dag pipe, probably.
Like
for dabs.
Yeah.
Weed, right?
You call weed dabs now?
No, a dab is something. It's another
like, drug?
Focused drug. I don't know. I've seen people do them. They go, and then they...
So the only typo there was pipe, not pike, pipe.
Chance, let us know. But
yeah,
I think
a
dab
pike,
pipe
is P-I-K.
We put a head on a pike.
I do know that Pike was the name of the dude in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
And
dabs
and
is more
Star Trek.
And
a dab is a type of weed, according to Drago.
Dabbing is it's more focused on the concentrated THC.
It's like you're smoking THC, and that you it hits you really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
Really fast. Like you can only do one. I used to do shows. I did a lot of comedy shows at a weed dispensary, and people were like, "You want to do a dab?" And I was like, no, because people were gone for a hot in like a second. With
sure. Could Snow Mike handle it?
Oh, fuck yeah, he can. He can handle anything.
Cool.
He can handle
it. Snow Mike texted us and was like, guys, just so you know, I'm snowed in. I'm probably not going to make it today. And he beat me here. He was here before me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sends all these terrifying things. He was hitting me up too. He's like, just so you know, man, Tahoe's getting nailed. I don't know what's going to go on. I'm like, just be safe. Don't even worry about it. Blah, blah. He's like, all right. And the next day, he's like, all right, I'm getting on the road. I'm going to go for a while in this giant line of people. If it turns out it's bad, I'm going to just stay home. Don't even bother. He's like, I passed the pass. I'm fine. I'm like, all right, man. And then Jeremy Renner in some kind of accident.
Yeah, it was a snowplowing accident, right?
Do we know anything more? That's what
all
I saw was
helicoptered out of the...
He's in critical but stable condition.
Yeah, because the neighbor put a tourniquet on it and stopped the bleeding.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did his arm get caught under the plow?
He got run over by a snowplow.
Yeah. Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's really sad. He was like, I was like, oh my God, I hope he's okay. But it said he was in critical. He was like in critical condition.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
I want
to
see.
Anytime you have to put like a tourniquet on to stop the bleeding is like.
Yeah. When Jen hit me up about it this morning and then I sent back a clip and it was a traumatic injury and she's airlift. She's like, that's never good.
Yeah.
No, I mean, snowplows are very, very big trucks with giant fucking metal things on them that can probably cleave you. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know what was going on, but the article I read, it was like two paragraphs. And I was like, oh, this is of course. It's always when you want the information that they don't editorialize for fucking five paragraphs. It started in the summer of 1883.
Well, it's like what the fuck, guys? It's like, you know, they're still not confirming what exactly happened, according to this CNN article from 47 minutes ago. The sheriff's office did not provide details on the extent of his injuries or what may have caused the accident.
Yeah. Well, I hope
his injuries are extensive, they said.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's super scary.
It's not good, man. We can't keep, you know. Mm-mm. Everyone needs to be safe. I want a second season of that show he did with Haley Steinfeld.
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Couldn't remember right now.
You're okay?
You're okay? You don't want it?
What is your problem, man?
He wants more Rick and Morty.
I don't need...
Did you see that Aqua Teen Hunger Force has a movie? We could watch that today.
They have like two movies.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to watch one over the break, but I was like, you know, I subject D to so many things.
Sure.
I don't think she needs an hour, 15-minute Aqua Teen movie.
Meatwad rolling around?
For my money, it doesn't get any more clever or funny than Aqua Teen Hunger Force. When I watched the first season of that, I was like, this is it. I don't have to ever watch anything funny ever again. This is perfect.
It's crazy. Is it still making new episodes?
I don't know.
Because
so.
I remember being in college and watching that on TV like when it would come on. It's
just so weird.
Yeah.
And every time I go back, I'll never...
Moon and Nights.
That was one of those shows where... I was like, this is the funniest fucking thing I have ever seen. And it was heartbreaking because everyone I would show Aqua Teen to would be like, I don't understand why you think this is hilarious.
I mean, it's a hard sell.
It's so
dude, all
weird.
Of that shit is a hard sell. And that's kind of before I really knew that like stoner culture was a thing.
Before you're taking dabs in your pike.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's stoner culture or like hardcore drug psychedelic culture.
Fucking mushroom.
Like, I think stoner culture, I think people smoke a little weed every once in a while. I'm pretty sure the Aqua Teen guys are like, when do we do heroin?
Oh, no, but I mean more for the audience.
Yeah,
because
Aqua Teen's audience is weed. It's when you get to Metalocalypse. That's when you get into like shrooms.
Don't bring up Metalocalypse in front of Nick.
Oh, God.
Get
oh,
sensitive
God,
really? Off.
Fucking Roxo is the best character.
Fucking
cocaine.
You guys do cocaine?
It's like, I do cocaine.
That's the funniest thing.
Yeah, I just mean like Adult Swim as a, like, this is kind of meant for, like, there's a lot of programming on here. Sure, we have Family Guy and American Dad and shit like that, but afterwards, there's going to be a lot of shit that is going to be like a loose idea.
Are you talking about home movies?
And the whole time I'm watching, no, home movies is not that. I'm talking like, I mean, there's just so much shit on there. I'm like, how is this being funded? Who's making money on this?
Because like, are the kids still watching Adult Swim? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Kids,
well, I mean, Rick and Morty's on Adult Swim, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, like, a Family Guy and American Dad had like second lives because of Adult Swim. Like that resurgence was massive for them. Same as like Futurama and stuff like that. But I, for the most part, like when I'm watching anything on my YouTube TV stuff, and I always get the little, you watch the commercials, whatever, you can fast forward. Every, maybe like 60 to 70% of the little interstitials that they play in between, they are always Rick and Morty based. It's like, goddamn, Rick and Morty must be funding the fuck out of Adult Swim.
Yeah,
dude. Because it's also like their original programming. This isn't coming from Fox with American Dad or
stuff,
Fox with Family Guy and TBS with American Dad. Like, this is...
Yeah, the main stuff that I see
this
on
is
current,
Rick and Morty,
current
much.
Programming is Rick and Morty seems to be the biggest thing. And then Primal by Tartakovsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a show that I kind of like vibed with, but I was like, I don't really know what this is.
Can't
and
keep
why.
Watching it. Yeah, that was one of those I watched a couple. I was like, watched one episode. I'm like, this is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I need the rest of this in my life.
Yeah.
It's like a very specific vibe.
Did y'all by any chance happen to watch This Place Rules on HBO?
No. Mm-mm. What's that?
What's that?
So this YouTuber named Andrew Callahan, who used to work for this place called All Gas, No Breaks, he would go out to music festivals and random places and just interview people. And it's always like the weird-ass funny people that he's interviewing. And then... the video started getting a lot more. They're very just man on the street type shit. And the video started getting a lot more political leading up to the election and stuff. And suddenly he was at less like just general music festivals. And he
I think I've probably seen TikToks of this where he goes to like Trump rallies.
Yeah. And then he would end up going,
it on them, yeah.
going to Trump rallies and stuff. No, not even necessarily that. Just kind of like hearing people out, hearing what they had to say. And then he started going to like BLM protests and all sorts of different. Like political rallies, and he just came out with this trailer called This Place Rules, or not trailer, but a documentary called This Place Rules, where it's just kind of all the events leading up to January 6th.
Yeah.
And it's him kind of interviewing a lot of people from all sorts of different spectrums and different walks of life.
I might have seen a TikTok of this. Does he do a whole pedophile thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was fucking awesome.
Yes. Amazing. But
not pedophilia, what he does.
There's also a...
I feel like you need to clarify.
pedophilia!
I don't know.
He gets
he
a,
do
pedophile.
A whole pedophile.
He nails a stupid-ass pedophile.
Yeah, which is like a great kind of cap to that whole storyline. But one of the TikToks that I had seen kind of advertising it was him talking to a family, and this little boy right here, and it's a family with a boy and a girl about ages 8, maybe 10 years old, mm-hmm. and they are like, well, we're not in school right now. Obviously, we can't be at school because we got to wear masks, and you know, all the pedophile lefts, you know, they just they're all lizard people, and they want us to. And it's like just repeating every QAnon talking point ever, and it's like horrifying. This is the father that we're watching right now of the kids talking about, like he's on the 8chan boards for QAnon, being like,
hey, Alex Jones.
The little the Chipotle logo, that's actually a symbol for pedophilia. Like, he's that type of, like, and it is, like, just horrifying hearing these kids kind of feeling the same
parrot
way.
All back, yeah.
Parroting it all back, yeah. But, it just came out recently. It is surprisingly not just all, like, I thought it was just going to be all kind of making fun of the Trump side. He goes to a lot of BLM protests as well and kind of talks to a lot of people there. And he gets very, very real with other families who are, like, there's just a good moment of the documentary where he kind of realizes, you know, there's a lot of families that aren't well off financially that cannot afford to go to all these protests because they got to worry about themselves at home. They can't be fucking traveling cross country to million man marches that, like, you know, when Trump had his million man march and was trying to like stop the steal and all that shit. It gets like kind of real in some moments, but I think it's definitely worth the watch. I know it's worth the watch when I accidentally hovered over like where I'm at in the dock and I was like, oh fuck, it's almost over. Like,
what's
I thought
it called? I'm gonna add it to my list.
It's called This Place Rules. And he's also he used to do this show called All Gas No Breaks, and I think that All Gas No Breaks thing, I think he
kind of veered off and
he got
kind
of shoved
thing.
Out of, and then they try to take it over. So now he's doing Channel 5 with Andrew Callahan.
Yeah, it's his own channel now called Channel 5, which is essentially the same concept. It's just I think he has full ownership of it now, as opposed to it being owned by Vice, maybe, I want to say. All Gas, No Breaks. I could be way off on that. I'll double check. But yeah, it's very, very good. This Place Rules. Not as serious as Into the Storm, the QAnon doc.
Oh, dude, that was...
Which was,
so there's, that was
very, very good.
There's two documentaries that I'll recommend along those subjects if you really want to like get more context for the events that led up to January 6th. Into the Storm, incredible. This one, definitely, I'll put on my list as well. But did anyone catch the Murdochs?
No.
No. You kind of mentioned it to me, and it sounded very depressing.
It is.
It's one of those that you end, and you're like, I have no hope for the future.
Fucking crazy. It's a crazy documentary. It's, I believe HBO put it out, but it's a CNN documentary. And it chronicles Rupert Murdoch, who used to own Fox News Corp. I think you were there for sure when we were owned by Fox. But
yeah,
100%. And how he kind of rose to acclaim and power through news, through various newspapers, by figuring out that if you write slightly inflammatory headlines and have a skew on things that scares people, that they tend to buy more newspapers because of that. And that's all the events that lead up to that. Predominantly, it's about the succession that's supposed to be happening in the Murdochs, which is why a lot of people say, hey, the Murdoch family is like where the succession writers took a lot of inspiration 100%. From, because Rupert Murdoch is like refuses to give the name like an heir. And it was Lachlan for a while, and then it was the other one, and like there's the youngest daughter as well, isn't it?
Side note, I can't wait for Succession.
Oh, come on,
dude! Right, I mean, if it's anything like this documentary, I got to get back on.
It's totally like that. When are we doing are we doing episode breakdowns? Let's do episode breakdowns. Let's do screencasts.
It's
fuck you, Tim. We'll do it without you. How's that sound?
It's absolutely bonkers, but it goes through everything into the formation of Fox News and how Fox News is basically like. A couple of things that shed crazy light on it for me was, which I didn't realize at the time, was they were like, there's people don't know this, but there's two distinct divisions of Fox News. There's actually Fox News, and then there's the opinion section that everyone just thinks is Fox News, because it's actually all that's where like Bill O'Reilly and Hannity and like all the hardcore personalities that we've come to know as be like the Fox News people came to acclaim. And it is just absolutely fascinating that they were like, every time that it's all sort of that look at what is the thing that sells the most. And it turns out it's like it's fear, and it's kind of fear mongering and stuff like that. And it's not to say that like that's not a commonly used thing, obviously, like news is.
Oh yeah.
You can't put out, hey, it's raining a little outside. It has to be like, fucking everyone's dying, yada yada. And it's across the board. But Murdoch was the first person to really be like, that's a commodity, and I'm gonna figure this out. It's absolutely crazy. And then it goes right up to the point where he decides to sell everything. Which you forget he did.
Did he? I don't even know. I didn't know he sold it.
No, he kept News Corp. But remember, he sold 20th Century Fox and all the studios his heir was supposed to take over. Yeah. Lachlan was supposed to go, I think, or I forget the other kid's name. And he just goes, he called up Bob Iger and was like, yo, you want to buy all this stuff? And the conspiracy theories are like that he did that so Bob wouldn't run for president so Trump could go get it. But they don't cover that. They just talk about how they angle it in more terms of like he wasn't sure his sons would be able to handle it.
Sure.
And they weren't.
So this is a documentary.
This is a 5-part documentary on HBO called The Murdochs. There's a subtitle to it too. But,
okay.
God, I love a good HBO.
They got a Madoff thing coming up. No, that's Netflix.
Ooh.
Somebody's got a Bernie Madoff thing coming up. Mm.
But it's fucking fascinating.
Okay.
It's so fascinating.
I'll add that too.
Yeah, well,
this is the HBO. Add it to your thing.
In This Place Rules, they also go deeply. They also brush on just like the 24-hour news cycle and how, like, yes, there's nonstop chaos outside and it's the election and everybody's going fucking buck wild. And the number one and two rated things are Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow. And it's like that, like, the sensationalism of it all definitely.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing is, right? And that you look at that, they don't, and that's the one thing that I will say to not to criticize the documentary, but they do a good job of reinforcing what the Fox News tactics use, but they don't say that like some of that was a direct rubber banding from like what CNN itself was doing, which they're doing similar things on that side of like, well, if Fox is going to do that, we have to combat that by like going farther to the left. And it's just like, you see where that polarization point starts happening and how it's being pushed. It's like, let's push it. Let's make money off of this.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel, when you're watching this, you're like, I have absolutely no power in this planet.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I just feel so, like, I got to the end of a couple of those episodes and I was like,
Fuck.
I am a fucking ant. These people are like, yeah, when you've got billions of dollars, and not only that, but you can literally call up the head of Fox News and be like, hey, this is our guy. And like, they talk about how Trump was like, they started seeding that out. Trump started appearing on Fox News as a personality. Oh,
man, you would
right?
fucking love Succession, dude.
I know, but it's like, but they, I mean, it's all crazy. And then they talk about the push and pull of Trump got bigger for a second, and they were like, "Fuck, we need Trump," and how like Hannity would call him and be like, "Hey, how everything good?" And like they'd strategize about all that stuff. And like again, this is from one to because I can see the comments. It's from one news outlet's perspective, but a lot of this stuff is factually based. You can find it. It's just fucking fascinating to see what the strategy of how he did. Like what his, how his mind worked and how he was like, let's just do this. Fucking wild.
I can't find it. You said HBO?
I think it was HBO.
Murdoch?
The Murdochs?
The Murdochs?
I'll look it up for you. I'll find it. You host the podcast.
Talking about the Boondocks.
I mean, we're fine. Look, Airplane 2's on here this year.
oh shit. Know.
Sister Act 3.
Sister Act 3.
Still not out.
Still not out?
No.
No way.
Andy, how was your break?
My break was good, man. Speaking of HBO stuff. Not HBO related, but kind of HBO related. Nick, you ever heard of a show called Andor?
I think it's one of the Star shows.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, right? Wars, yeah.
You happen to watch it?
No, but I saw your incredibly viral tweet happen where you're like, Andor, not that bad. And it's like, retweet.
Dude.
Tim has been knocking on my door to tell me, get me to watch Andor.
Come on, knock on my door.
No.
Because I can't. No. Because it's one of those situations where he's like, bro, just skip seasons 1 and 2. Just go straight into season 4.
No.
It takes 3 episodes to get good, everybody says.
That's what they say.
I watched episode 1, and I was like, I ain't got time for this.
I disagree. Because I watched episode 1, and it was
I watched the first episode.
Okay. So immediately after watching episode 1, I thought, this is already better than any other Star Wars show that they've put out. And I only because I could tell the vibe and the tone and like just having moments of dialogue that I had been missing so much in the other products that they've put out. Anytime that I would like happen to watch Kenobi and then I would watch that night's episode of Better Call Saul and I go, I just want like really, really, really good dialogue and really good writing. And like, dude, like, if there's anybody out there who's like, I'm probably not going to watch it. I didn't really like any of the Star Wars shows. I'm right there with you. And this one I watched, and I'm so glad I did. It just felt like HBO made a Star Wars show.
That's what Tim said.
Yeah.
And that makes me want to watch it a lot more. But, I mean, I have no excuse. I'll watch it.
He's talking. Yeah. I see him thinking, like, what shit can I talk?
The thing is this. It's like, it's not a shit talk thing. It's that I watched the first episode, and I was like, it's fine. It's very fine to me. There's a couple criticisms I have of a lot of those shows, which is that you can kind of, they just don't feel as well-rounded. But this one is the least not well-rounded of all the Star Wars shows as far as, like, production values and acting and, like, obviously, not, what's his name?
Diego.
Diego Luna is fucking great. But, you know, the three guys are like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, guys are so TV actors. And then, but I guess it's good. I'll watch it.
Dude, like,
I'll watch it all tonight. We'll come back tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast.
All of it. Wow. Yeah.
You know, he's crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, man. Like, the thing with, my dad is very much like me where he is so, these days he is so ADD, man. Like, you want to talk about TikTok ruining another generation or Instagram Reels ruining another generation.
God, I hate it. Is he watch Reels?
Dude, it is like...
What's wrong with Reels?
No, I mean,
because it's just regurgitated TikTok like 7 months later. Yeah. I hear my mom over there watching. It's she'll come awesome. Visit. She'll be watching Instagram Reels at full volume. Like, knock it off.
The thing is, like, the problem with my dad's viewing habits remind me of like some of my best friends whenever you're trying to show them the thing. And he's just there to, and I'm like,
no, pay attention.
And so, like, my mom has been like, mijo, I try to watch this and this show with your dad, or this and this new HBO show, whatever, White Lotus, like, any whatever, like, the trending show is. She's like, and he just, they try to watch Succession.
Yeah.
And I know he loves Succession, but every other second he's on his phone, she says.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, like, Andor hooked him. And it required a bit of me being like, oh, this line of dialogue, check this out. But, dude, holy fuck, man. There are, like, so many good character interaction moments that, like, when that scene ended, I went, God
damn, this show's fucking good, man. And a lot of it is like the stuff that I'd kind of been wanting, like all of the inequality stuff. Like, god damn, they were good, dude. They were so good.
Dude.
What a show.
The prison arc, man.
Real quick, a lot of people have said positive things about Andor, Nick, but I choose to ignore them, and I'll go with Bentley's Enigma, who says, I tried today, Andy, and I was only able to watch the first two episodes. Snooze fest, Nick.
He just needs one comment.
That's it. That's it. And that's what I was too, man. You know what I mean? Not one lightsaber. No Grogu, no Greg View is what I say to
him. That's what they always say. I've been saying it too. Like, shit.
Got all these aliens. I got to see this guy run around looking for his sister. Come on. What am I doing?
It's just like, it's the first time that I was like, man, they did a good one. They made a good one. Sure. Like, this
is,
like,
okay, this is weird. Sorry. I'm trying. It's called the Murdochs. This is weird. Empire of Influence. It was like a 5-part docuseries. Someone said it was Low Country, which is a 3-part, but it looks like they pulled it from HBO Max, and maybe they pulled it as part of the whole Discovery, because you know Discovery bought
shit off. A bunch of weird shit.
Mike called me the other day. He's like, dude, this fucking show.
Dude, they don't have Westworld on there anymore.
Wild. They might have pulled it. Mike they was did. Watching. They're... Remember that show I was talking about that was, I can't remember the name, but it was Jake Johnson. And it was like feminist.
Oh, yeah. And they canceled it in the middle. They pulled it, but they're still filming the new season.
But they canceled season two now, so they pulled season one. So Mike was like, I'm five episodes into season one. This show's great. Get a text a day later. What the fuck happened to the show?
I saw Jake Johnson post about it.
Yeah, they're still filming it, right? They're going to finish the film and try to find a new home.
He's like, we're trying to find a home for seasons one.
It's so good. It was such a fun show and such a great like examination. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
No.
It's Jake Johnson and the actress that played Karina from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
One more time?
Karina.
Remember the
she's like
pink
green.
Woman.
Yeah, she kills him.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, I don't know.
She's a really good actress. I forgot her name and I apologize. But she plays a feminist writer, and Jake Johnson plays a porn magazine publisher, and he goes, I'll give you your own magazine, but it's gotta be like, and she's like, fine, then it's gonna be like naked guys. And so it's a feminist sort of like that versus misogyny, and it's really, really funny, really, really well written. Those two have great chemistry. The whole cast
Minx?
Is great.
Is that
yes, Minx, thank you.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I was like, dude, I'm so looking forward to season two. Thanks, Discovery.
You get
Ophelia Lovabond is the actress.
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds right.
Have y'all been watching Chippendales on Hulu? Yeah.
You know, I started it, watched two episodes, and I was like, I'm good.
It's a vibe. It's weird. I say it's really good. It's not great, but it's really good. It's Kumail, and it's the story of the Chippendales, like the
male
dance
review. Club. Yeah,
not the rescue.
And my God, the show goes from like he is this like uprising, like you're rooting for him, and then there's the turning point that is so clear, and you're like, oh, you're the villain, and this is bad.
Oh, okay. So I'll keep watching it then.
Oh, dude, it gets really, really stressful and dark. Oh, there's a new episode tonight. The finale tonight, I think. Oh shit.
Yeah. I've been we watched
this
a couple
is a
of that.
Thing on...
It's weekly on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really well made. It's really interesting, and he's phenomenal. And
he's so good. The whole cast,
is great.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I fell off it a little bit because I was like, I like the going into business story. So once it was up and running and successful, I was like, I don't know where this is gonna go.
Well, good job, Chippendale. Yeah, see you later.
Oh no, they do some.
I'll go back.
It goes cool. Place.
What did you do?
I'll go back to it.
There are more than a handful of things that I think Nick Scarpino will really appreciate about that.
I like
show.
To use the phrase handful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of handfuls. There's a lot of stuff. And like the choreography and the actual like set piece like dances are so good and so stylishly shot. Like they did some damn good shit, and Kumail is absolutely incredible in it. Like I think this might be his best performance.
Yeah, I heard he was on a podcast I listened to. He was on The Business, and he was basically like, Kim Masters was like, why did you pick this? And he's like, I love doing comedy, but like I just wanted something different. I wanted to tell a real story, like Flex, because it's like not a comedy at all. It is pretty hardcore. Like, and I think spoilers. It follows who's the playmate that dies in like the first episode.
Well, yeah, I forget her name.
Yeah, that, it's not really a spoiler. Yeah, but like that. But it's gruesome. It's a dark story.
Yeah,
it's a very dark story.
Yeah,
good for him.
Good for him indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim, how was your break?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was the best break ever.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did nothing.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
It was so nice. I literally didn't connect my computer because I was like, if my computer's connected, I'm going to work.
I'm gonna get
there. So I just didn't until I had to. But I didn't for a long time. And my entire break was 2 weeks of just getting all back into Pokemon, man. Like Scarlet and Violet, all that stuff. I've been talking about it for a long time, right? Completed the Pokedex, and I was all in. But then a magical turning point in my life happened where Gia has been playing Marvel Snap. She got super into it. She still plays every day. Like, she's insanely just addicted to it. Then she saw me playing Pokemon. She's like, would I like that? And I was like, pause my game, put it down. I was like, well, you really like the strategy stuff. You like stories. You like this. You like that. I was like, I actually think if we give you the original Red and Blue, but Fire Red, the remake of it.
Of course.
I was like, I can see you getting into this shit. I can see you see this turning into a thing. I was like, no pressure. I'll get you it. We'll see if you're
into it. Why not Scarlet Violet?
That's way too complicated. That's way too much. And also, it's like, I want her to have like the original experience, okay, right? So I was trying to get a copy of Fire Red. Snowbike Mike gave me his old copy. He was like, I don't need it anymore. You can totally take it. I have my analog pocket. So she's playing like on a Game Boy, which is
that's
super
cool.
Fun.
That's
so
really awesome. Cool.
But I gave it to her and she's like, I feel like I'm going to miss something if I don't have the context of like the cartoon and stuff. And I'm like,
no.
Are you telling me you want to fucking watch Pokemon from the beginning?
Oh, that's a commitment.
Oh, yeah. And she was like, let's give it a shot. If I don't like it, we'll stop, whatever. We've gotten into this rhythm of watching an episode of Pokemon and a serious drama and then a comedy every night. Like, that's our what we do. And sometimes we would do that cycle multiple times.
Neapolitan ice cream here. Dude, you know what I mean?
We are almost done with the entire first run of him getting to the league and all that stuff. Meanwhile, she has 6 badges in this game. And she is all in. She won't stop playing. Nice. She's like 30 hours into this damn game. She's talking to every single person. She's trying to catch them all. And I'm like, I can't believe this. Like, I woke up one day and like she's just next to me in bed playing. And she was like, okay, so Misty's Starmie has been destroying me. Like, she killed me like 6 times. But I have an idea. If I raise my Butterfree enough, can I use sleep powder to make it fall asleep and then use poison powder to like poison it? I'm like, yeah, you can. She's like, okay.
That's the move.
And then she fucking did it and she won. And I've never seen her happier with herself. Like, it is the funniest thing in the world. But yeah, I'm like just the most proud dad of it all.
That's incredible.
But like, her wanting to watch the shows, identifying things, and be like, oh, in the game, this is the game. I'm like, this is the fucking best.
That's incredible.
Sidebar, did you notice yourself not talking to NPCs as much as you did in old Pokemon games?
Well, it's because you don't need to, because their word bubbles pop up when you go by them.
Do all of them
says
do that?
Anything interesting
yeah.
either?
Yeah, yeah. All
if
of them.
It's yellow, then I know I
yellow
engage.
Means it's like a you
I'll
can engage with it.
Out of this guy.
But it was designed that way, which is great because it's way faster.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of just like talking to the random person who's like, my fucking dad died, like some shit. I got a fucking thing for you. Like yeah. I got a little, you know.
I lost my sister, and you know.
Yeah, like little things. I kind of miss those moments. I don't know. It's a little sidebar. It's a little sidebar.
Okay, good sidebar.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm glad you shut down over the
shut
break.
Shut the fuck down.
Because last year we did a lot last year.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we wore ourselves a little thin, and so I'm glad. I went over to your house for a second, and Tim, can I tell you the story?
Oh,
Tim came,
go for it.
I had to drop some off at his house and just say what's out to him. Tim came out, Andy, in a pajama bomber jacket.
Yeah.
And he was so happy. I was like, dude, you look so good. He's like, I've been doing nothing, Nick, nothing. A whole lot of nothing. He's like, see this? This is a pajama bomber jacket.
Like a MeUndies?
It's not MeUndies, but it's a chalk line, just like bomber jacket. But like, I literally have it just to sleep in.
Yeah.
Like, that's just awesome. To be like my pajama wear around the house.
Okay. Yeah.
And, but it's a bomber jacket. I'm like,
so it's not pajama material. It's just been.
But it's, I mean, it pretty much is. Like,
so is it like the Letterman jackets we used to sell, the kind of funny Letterman jacket?
No, but it's nylon. It's like, okay. I don't know if nylon's the right word, but it's more silky than anything.
Okay.
Satiny.
It looks comfortable as fuck.
It's comfortable as fuck.
It looked like I was like, dude, I'm so happy for you that you're just like in your home, warm, hanging out, just decompressing for a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, dude.
Because you deserve it, man.
And there's nothing like the cycle, though, where we'll watch fucking Pokemon. Dude, what adventures is Ash Pikachu getting into right now? And like, oh, when I tell you I cry at every moment you'd expect me to cry, I cry so fucking hard. Bye-bye, Butterfree. Get the fuck out of here, dude. I'm crying before he's even almost gone. And he's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I know what's coming. But yeah, that's so funny. But then
Does this show hold up? Is it like an entertaining story?
Yes, it definitely does. Definitely for what it is, and especially the earlier episodes, like there's such a nostalgia to it, and the art style, the backgrounds are beautifully hand drawn. Like, there's a lot of actually good stuff there. It's a kid show at the end of the day, still, but like it's way better and it holds up way more than I would have ever expected it to. But going from that to one of the other things we've been watching is the entire Netflix Marvel series, which I missed out on.
Entire. Wow, really?
Talking about because
Daredevil
and Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones season 1 is fucking great.
So good.
So with all of this, it's like I It's weird that Tim Geddes hasn't seen these fucking shows, but Daredevil season one dropped when Gia was going to grad school. And so it was one of those things we watched one episode together. We're like, oh, we'll watch them later. Next thing you know, we're three seasons of Daredevil in, and we never watched it. And I heard a lot of mixed things, way too many episodes, all this shit. So I was like, one day we'll do it. But now she's been pushing it. She's like, let's just commit one episode a night. We'll just get it done. Watch all of season one of Daredevil. Watch all season one of Jessica Jones. We're now halfway through season two of Daredevil. And like, every single thing ever said about those shows is so true.
So true.
There's just so
what's good
much.
Is so
what's
good.
So, what's good is
and then there's just so much stuff you're like, wow.
Everything else.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Daredevil season where like
don't
half
spoil
the
anything.
Season. Oh, how far are you in?
Half of season two.
Don't worry about it then. I think it is actually season two where you're
where he gets his sight back.
And it's like, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. No, but Jessica Jones season one was one of those. Once I finished that, I was like, wow, this is, because it's intense.
They call me
so good.
They call me Truth Angel. Truth is there.
And then if you started,
damn, Andy, that was horrible.
Did you watch, and sorry, where are you at with Punisher?
Well, so Punisher was introduced. I'm in the thick of that, and I'm loving that stuff. It's
so good.
Did you
get to the point where he got, is it a little spoiler?
Where he loses his sight.
And he becomes a lawyer. It's crazy. No.
He's in the hospital right now.
Okay. There's a great moment, and I think it was in the trailer, so I don't want to spoil it. It'll get a little spoiler, but there's a great moment where it's a great scene between him and Charlie Cox, or John Bernthal and Charlie Cox, where he calls him, he was like, you're a fucking half measure. The Daredevil, and it's the coolest line.
I think that was on the rooftop scene.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
So cool. I was like, wow, this is special. And John Bernthal.
Kills it.
That dude, man.
Bernthal, man.
Yeah.
So good.
I would like to say, like, give him a shot, but everything he's in, he just kills. And I don't want him.
Let me ask you something, Rick.
I don't want him to be a mega Hollywood star, because then I don't think he'll get these incredible. He's a character actor.
Sure.
And so, like, going from like the Punisher to American Gigolo to that insane Boston cop show that he was on with
one that Chris Anka loved.
Yeah, which was like he just plays this like really complex shitbag cop.
Washington D.C.
on HBO.
Was it Washington?
Right. Yeah, just watching the show right now. Actually, sorry. And his accent's hilarious.
Remember when he was in 30 Seconds of the Bear and he stole the entire?
Yeah, he's so good.
That's what they're so great at. They build up to the brother and the bear, and then it's just John Bernthal. Wind River, same thing. A great fucking movie overall. And then all of a sudden they cut to this scene. I'm like, John Bernthal's the guy.
I know.
Dude,
it's the guy.
I'm gonna say something that like I'm gonna need some help from the chat or from you guys to help.
He was in The Walking
here.
Dead.
But yes, he was.
That's what
yes,
he started.
He was. There was a show that came out last year, I want to say, that was like Black Mirror, Twilight Zone-esque, that was written and produced and hosted by the dude from The Office. The
Ricky Gervais?
No. The
American Office?
Mindy Kaling's friend in the show.
Yeah.
You're talking
BJ Novak.
BJ Novak.
That was a movie.
He put out a TV show that was like eight episodes. It was like Black Mirror or whatever.
It was like
every
an
episode.
AMC show, I think.
I don't know what it was on. It was on. I watched it on Hulu. And the show was so fucking good.
This sounds like my alley. I've never heard of it.
It's called The Premise?
The Premise.
Yeah.
And he'll come out as like the host and be like, so here's the premise. And like they explain whatever it is. And then you just get an episode about it. And I would say more than less, the episodes are fantastic. Some of them are pretty good. I don't think there were any bad ones. But the best episode is with John Bernthal, and it has to do with like gun safety. And it's a 10 out of 10, impeccable TV. And like if anything, everyone needs to watch this one episode.
Do you remember which one it is?
It's the one with John
Bernthal.
I don't know.
I've got it up here.
I'm looking
Greg.
At the list
it's
of
moment
things.
Of silence.
Moment of silence.
No, episode two. Okay.
One of the most like, damn, that was art, and y'all fucking nailed the message, nailed what you're doing. Like, it is gonna stress you the fuck out.
There's
but,
one episode called Butt Plug. Is that a good one, Tim?
That one's. I think it's episode one. That's so.
I still have Joey's mom's Hulu information.
I've watched random episodes.
Okay,
I've watched all the episodes you've recommended me.
Thank you. I haven't,
and they're fucking great.
Yeah. Bear's great.
Bear was great.
Be honest with me. Have I ever recommended anything bad? Come on.
Like, Andy's record, pretty goddamn good.
You guys have very good, similar sensibilities.
Yeah.
By the way, something that obviously you didn't vibe with. I went back home, and when I was back home, my friend CP loves
3PO.
Handing me the remote and being like,
show me
some shit.
Yeah.
And I said, have you watched the rehearsal yet? And he said, no. I said, remember Nathan for You? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, let me show you a little something. And then He loved it, obviously. And then I get a text from him last night, and he was like, I'm showing my girlfriend the rehearsal. We are fucking dying at it's days like these that I curse the Chinese for inventing gunpowder. Goddamn. What a, talk about, favorites of 2022. That is one of the favorite things that I experienced in 2022. That,
Greg,
and Avatar.
Have you guys ever given it a shot?
Yeah, Jen can't fuck with him. Because, she doesn't like seeing people get pranked or whatever.
Yeah,
and I know that this one's not fully that, but, that's what Nathan for You was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, we started the rehearsal, and the first episode, the other apartment, and she was like, nah. I'm like, all right, cool.
Bounce I feel down. Like you would love
it. It sounds like something I would love.
The most Craig. Nathan, are you him? I'm a little concerned in some ways.
Avatar, I saw it again, by the way. So it took my whole family. I spent $160 $160 on IMAX tickets for my three nieces and nephews, my brother, my sister-in-law, my mom, my dad, and we all went to go watch IMAX, and we got it in the... Well, here's the thing. I'm always very, very, kind of worried about movie theaters back home. I never know...
Are they going to have enough pickles?
Exactly. And luckily, we did have...
Plenty.
Pickles aplenty. Pickles aplenty.
Pickles aplenty.
But I had bought... tickets for the theater kind of closest to us, which is the it's like the Cinemark's version of
Alamo.
Of a bistro type
thing. Okay.
Yeah, like an Alamo. And then I remembered or somebody said, oh, what about IMAX? Did you watch it on IMAX? And I said, well, I don't really think there's IMAX. They're like, no. The AMC bought the theater that was called Carmike Theater in Edinburgh. I was like, oh, shit, word? And then I looked, and I was like, oh, it's like true IMAX shit. Sold all those tickets back, refunded all those on the Fandango app, bought them all on IMAX. And goddamn, the homie Rudio hit me up this morning. He was like, what did you prefer, Dolby or IMAX? I can't really pick, man.
Oh, no, Dolby, bro.
Dude, the full res IMAX, the full aspect ratio, getting the top to bottom.
Yeah.
Goddamn, man. I mean, again, it was just such an experience. And all of my mom was like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life. And the kids were just freaking the fuck out. That final act is the dopest shit of all time, dude.
And fucking Cameron did it again, right? Because remember, we went in and be like, it's got to make $5 billion. And I was like, in my brain, I'm like, there's no way. And now it's dominating the box office, making hella money, right?
By this afternoon, it's going to beat Top Gun Maverick to be the number 10 of all time.
And how much is this movie going to affect 3D movies going forward, because we're in that trailer. Because when we watched Avatar, we didn't get previews, right?
We saw a screening of it, right? No. Yeah, we saw a screening, so we didn't get previews.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It just started.
I think
you and I.
Previews.
Yeah.
So for this
one.
Joey
and Kevin gave a shit because we didn't save them seats, even though we saved them seats.
We did save them seats. Yeah. I get the trailers here for Ant-Man Quantumania in 3D, right? And I was
I hate the 3D.
God damn. I bet you every movie for the next 3 years is going to ride the wave of, hey, Avatar was great in 3D.
Well, I'm fine with
check
it if
this
it's
shit out.
Ant-Man and Quantumania. That actually sounds like it's fun. But
I'll say this. The trailer in 3D looks pretty sick. But granted, I think when Avatar came out back in the day, and then a bunch of 3D movies tried to follow up on that success, they all looked like shit.
Well, I mean, I know.
Because they weren't real 3D.
They have to be shot in 3D.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's not. Marvel movies, everyone releases in 3D.
Yeah.
They don't look great.
What's the process? And when it's not shot, it's not stereoscopic, but when they go back and they have to recut.
Well, it's just post conversion 3D. Yeah.
That's when we're going to watch the Star Wars prequels, they all didn't even release in 3D, but they were trying to.
Yeah, they just did
Phantom Menace. I saw that shit.
And then they got bought by
I saw it too. Me and Kevin went the midnight release.
Yeah.
And that was back when it was actually midnight. I don't know why we fucking did that. We regret the pod racing was incredible. But God, it was why? And then they didn't even do 2 and 3. They're like, But
what
Titanic in 3D, y'all motherfuckers, they're re-releasing it again next year. We're going.
You know what? I'm kind of down.
Are they doing 40? Because that'd be one to see in 40.
Well, so here's the thing. I saw Avatar in 4D. Do not recommend that at all. It ruined the experience. The movie was great. The 3D looked like shit. The sound was bad. No.
Oh, really? The 3D looked like shit?
Yeah.
I would just expect that to be kind of standard across the board. Well, what made it different was
there's so much nerd shit with this where it's like, is it real 4K? Is it 2K? Is it high frame rate? Is it 3D? All that shit needs to play nicely, and Dolby's the only way.
I still saw variable refresh rate, right?
Which meant yours was in 2K, not 4K.
Oh, okay, so we still, so we're getting all the different high speed shit. Dude, my family did not notice a difference.
Well, it's like, hard. It's hard to. I mean, unless you're really looking for it, it's hard.
Like,
to
I would expect them to be like, "Why were some scenes kind of like?"
Think about it, and I assume it's the same for you, but maybe not. But think of the times you go to a family member's house and they have True Motion on.
Yeah, but like
this is so like
no, but that's
intense.
But that's looking. True Motion 24/7 of their lifetimes that they're experiencing this, and then they see the dip. But I'm talking like in the middle of a 3-hour experience, you're getting True Motion, not True Motion. Like, and I expected them to kind of notice that, and they're like. But no, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's different because most of the characters are CG.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I feel like if it's a live action person and it goes from looking like a movie to looking like a soap opera shot on video, it might be a little different. But I mean, it is true. Most people just don't see it.
Yeah, it's just weird to me that they didn't even know what I was talking about. And I had to explain to them, like, you didn't notice how some of the scenes look like super smooth.
But I also think that the 3D kind of makes it look different to begin with. So when you're looking at something 3D, it doesn't look like a 24p movie to begin with. It looks a little crisper and a little different frame rate anyway, so I could see that. Because there were moments where I was sitting next to you, like, dude, that's cool, and I'm like, oh, he's talking about the frame rate issue. And I fucking am super sensitive to it, to the point where I have an Apple TV, like a 4K, sitting on my desk, because I'm not sure if I want to install it, because I think my TV fixed itself, but I'm not sure, and I won't sell it back. I'm keeping it just in case my TV decides to do that.
What TV bullshit. Do you have?
I have an LG C.
You have the OLED C1? Or
what was the first generation of that?
The CX was one before the C1.
Before that, but you have the X though. Yeah,
I have the X, and it did a weird thing for a very long time with Dolby, where if something was Dolby Vision, it would do a weird frame mix with 120 hertz, where just the motion looks True Motion. So if we were sitting there talking to each other, you'd be like, it's okay, but his mouth would look like it's a little too crisp.
Okay.
And then I think they pushed a couple updates and it fixed that. Because now I'm getting true dead on, like 24p. It's very crisp, but it looks like it's supposed to look. Very weird. But Tim told me just to always have an Apple TV in your back pocket just to have it.
You say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plug that shit in. Use that shit, dude. Paris knows what's up. Paris Lily this weekend tweeted, like, trying to figure out my smart home thing. Just got the Apple TV. And I'm like, let's go. Doing it right.
I will do it one day, but the TV has to screw me again. Yeah. Right now the TV's behaving and she's great. And I love her.
And it's because the TV sees the threat of the Apple TV.
I keep it. Here's the thing. When it starts misbehaving, I move the Apple TV just a little closer.
Sure.
Just a little closer. She gets better. Yeah,
Exactly.
Carrot and stick.
You got it. You know what I mean?
I was talking to Tim about this, but my parents in their living room, they had this gigantic like wooden furniture set that surrounded the TV. To the point where it's like...
Oh, like a cabinet that it was in?
Yeah, like there was these two gigantic cabinets that house... The two main speakers, and then there was like a wooden thing you'd place on top, and then they'd had like a little floral bullshit or whatever above it. And they got rid of all of it. And then I got a text from my dad recently where it is this new sort of furniture thing that the TV's just sitting on top of, not surrounded by all this shit.
Yeah, you get big ass
and he was like, man, the wall's looking real empty.
Yep.
It looked nice to get a little 77 inch up there instead of this 65 or whatever. And when I tell you the bonding moment that we had, because the way the house is situated is the living room, and then there's like windows on the left side because the den used to be the outside. And the people who owned the house before my parents closed in the den. So now it's like a separate kind of like, it's a second living room, I guess, you know.
Sure.
But separating is like windows. Like it's similar to how you would just be looking outside, right? And that's where like usually the kids are whenever we're in the living room. So it's basically just two rooms, like, mirrored.
Separate,
right?
Like glass.
Yeah. And my brother was like, I want to get him a sound bar for that room. Because every time, like, the kids want to play games, my dad wants to put on the stereo for them. And my dad is super old school with all his tech, and he has, like, two old receivers. Yeah. He has, like, an Onkyo receiver and some other receiver. And that receiver in the other room, he's just dealing with all the cables, and it's really, really frustrating. Let's get a sound bar, simplify that. And then we started having an issue with the optical cables not working.
Sure.
And then my dad wanted to do a lot of testing, right? And my mom gets like real frustrated because there's all this shit, like all these wires are everywhere. And he was like, I don't know why this receiver isn't working over here. Why is it the optical cable? We got to go behind. So like we spent like an hour trying to figure out, is it the cable? Is it the receiver? Let's test this cable on different receivers. We went through all of the fucking scientific method on this shit. And we finally figured out it is this specific cable. It is not either of these receivers. Thank God. And then he just like put his arm around me and he hugged me. He was like, that's why I fucking love having you here. It was such a dad-son moment. If he was like, God damn, I love you, man. He's like, I wouldn't have done any of this if you weren't here because I would have gotten too frustrated.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Even though I know jack shit about sound receivers, like the whole time we're like, is it DTS or is it DVD in? Is it like, I'm sure Tim knows the issues I'm talking about. And he's dealing with universal remotes that are super old and they don't have, like, it's a ton of bullshit. And he was just so happy to figure out that, like, oh God, thank God it is this thing. And my mom, who recently had a surgery, has like this hook that like,
For grabbing things.
And then I was like, Dad, snake the cable in the back. I'll use the hook to grab the cable. And like, we were
teamwork,
well,
baby.
Sheed, man. It was like such a funny moment. And we're like, but if we fuck up that TV, we put the 65 over there and then we get it. Yeah, like, there's a cycle at the house. Like, whenever this TV gets done, that gets moved to the den. Sure. The other one goes to like some old family friends of ours or whatever, and we put the new one in there. But yeah, we started looking at 77 inches already.
Oh yeah.
We're looking to move over there. And I'm also looking to upgrade. I'm sure you've seen the way my TV is kind of situated behind me. It's like kind of facing the wall. I want to put it above my desk because Standy Andy is kind of no more, right? We're not working from home anymore.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. I don't really stand at my desk anymore. When I stream, I just kind of sit down because whatever, it's 2 hours, 3 hours. I want to put a TV above my desk and have that, like, I want to get an OLED finally.
To me, baby. Let's go.
I will say, Andy, we might need to bring Kevin over for that. Because I remember when
I was going to hire like Best Buy Geek Squad installation or whatever. Geek Squad knows, like, my room
our
well. They've been there like 7 times.
Yeah, our walls are really weird because I remember we had to do something specific when we first moved in. If you remember, I had our TV on a wall mount. And then after that, we just took it off and I just have it on stands.
You guys probably have lath and plaster, which is like you have to mount it a certain way for that.
And you have to get to specific places. Like, even if we're just trying to hang frames, you know, like it's like,
because the lath, if you ever look at those walls, like there's little tiny slats.
I got a bunch of push pins. It should be good.
I always default to, like, if I can't, I know everyone likes to mount shit. If I can, I just put the thing on a thing. Cause then I can move it wherever I want. I can get behind it.
I've always kind of been against mounting because I'm so afraid of commitment in that way. In the same way why I hate dealing with, like, I hate committing to cable management because of, like,
Andy. It's the best thing in the world.
Because I'm so worried about, like, the length of the cables and, like, what if I want to move that later? Like,
dude,
I'm never going to, but that's always in my mind of, like,
you. I got it down.
My room
all
is
of this.
Such a fucking mess, dude. It is so gross underneath my desk.
I want to show you this text I sent Snowbike Mike during Thanksgiving vacation. I walked into a Target and they had all these TVs out there. And I'm looking, look at the price tags on these: $399, $499, $499.
Oh my God.
And I sent him the photo. I just go, remember when those morons wanted you to spend $7,000 for a TV? And Mike responds, they just don't get it.
We don't get it, apparently.
You don't
but, like,
get
the
it.
The thing is, you will. He will just spend the most money on the dumbest shit. But for a TV, he's like, I want the 70-inch TV for $700. It's like, why is this suddenly where you're stopping, where you're like worrying about how much you're spending?
Dude,
oh my God.
For Christmas, we went to Gia's sister's house for, like, they like did a little get together thing, and my brother ended up showing up, which was like a fun treat, little Cool Greg appearance. And we get in, everything was good. But we walk into the living room and they had it must have been a 32-inch TV or something, and it was so sad, just like sitting on the little
VHS player in it,
and like just this giant empty wall behind them. And my brother just straight up goes like, "Is Tim fucking okay with this shit? Like, are you serious? Like, how is this not?" And I was just like, "Oh my God!" And like, he started going so hard, and Gia's sister was just like, "No, we know, we're trying to figure it out." My brother was like, "I don't know what the fuck's happening here, man." Like,
that's so
which
funny.
I love him. I respect it so much. He knows.
I need there to be like an MTV Crib / Pimp My Ride thing, where like I just imagine whenever they would cut to Ish on Pimp My Ride, and he'd be like, "So what we're going to do today, we're going to install a couple speakers here in the back." But I want like Cool Greg to be like, "Nah, man, this screen is way too fucking small. Like, your shit looks stupid."
my mom got a call from one of her best friends. And, you know, like, my parents are that generation where they grew up with people that are best friends for like fucking 40 years, right? She got a call. She goes, "We got to talk about your husband." And my mom's like, "What happened?" She goes, "So her husband invited my dad over, to take a just take a look at his little room that he had that he watches TV in, and it had one of those like built-in cabinet things. And my dad is very much the kind of guy that's like, oh, we can pull that thing out real quick.
Oh, no.
Gutted the whole, it ended up being like a week-long thing. My brother got called to come in and help out. My brother was like, what the fuck did you do? Because he was like, my dad's like, I think we can get like a 77 in there. And they had like a 42. I mean, it was like maxing out the thing. It was one of those things where it was like, well, you put it on, but it's sticking out a little bit from the things. And you're like, that does not look good in there at all. She was so pissed. She was so mad at my dad. But his friend was really happy with it, so it worked out okay in the end. But I mean, it's like a room that's like, it's like a den. It's not even very big. Fucking baller. Why not?
Fuck yeah.
I mentioned to Jen the other day, I was just like, yeah, you know, like, I've seen Kevin hang drywall. Like, it can't be that hard. If me and him wanted to spend a week, she's like, no, under no circumstances are you people ever hanging drywall in here. It'll be a process that limps on for months, you and him.
You can't.
Chipping away at doing the stupid shit.
It would be one of those where you had to post on a website similar to how, like, when Barrett tells me the how construction is going on all these streets we travel, he's like, oh, it's not going to be right until 2024. Like, you would have to post on that to, like, update Jen.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, how's the puppy?
He's great. Yeah, Cole's fantastic. Yeah.
He's cute.
Nick came over to hang out for a little bit, and he just slept on Nick's lap the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, this is the experience that I look forward to when I go to the Miller household. Either somebody hands me a baby or somebody hands me a puppy that I get to hang out with for a little bit. And I had Cole, and it was a little later. Cole was like, you're disrupting my sleepy time?
Yeah.
And that was fine. And then I put him down, and he went right to mom, and then I left. It was nice. He's adorable.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's doing real well. I'm blown away on a bunch of different fronts. You know, obviously, coming after the hard mode of having Benjamin, right? I was like, still like, all right, well, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. You know, Jen's never had a puppy before, and I haven't had a puppy in 17 years, right? And so it was this really crazy wake up of like, oh, like, not nearly as hard as baby Benjamin, and also not nearly as hard as old man Porty. Of like, you know, when Porty was like so much and made of glass and all this stuff of carrying him around and having to give him a million pills all day long and like be so gentle and so careful. Like, oh, right. Like the great example is, you know, our nanny has a dog. She has this big dog named Fred. He's like, he's a mutt, but he's like a sheepdog, right? So he's all energy. He's super excited. He's 2 years old. And like when he originally showed up, you know, last year, Porty was still around. And so it was this thing of like, we introduced them, but then Fred wanted to play, and Porty obviously could not play at all in any stretch of the imagination. So we kept them separated the entire time. And so bringing Cole into the equation, I was still very
Porty was like a third down rusher. Like, you only put him in on third down to rush.
Yeah. Bringing Cole in, I was very much like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to keep them separated. And obviously, I don't want, like, you know, him roughhousing. And I forgot totally of, like, what a puppy's like. You want to roughhouse. Cole, like, chases Fred around. She chases him, and they play real hard, and they love each other, and they're, like, super great together. And Cole's great with Benjamin. And, you know, Cole, very impressive, I feel, of, like, you know, I prepped Jen of, like, you know, middle of the night, he'll need to get up, he'll need to go outside, all this other stuff. Dog doesn't need to. Dog sleeps all night sleeps in the bed now with us already. Like, I was prepared to wait months for that, but now he's in there and he doesn't wake us up. And the one time he did during these insane SF rains we've had, he went out, he did his business, came back in, wanted to play. I put him back in the bed. I'm like, it's 5 a.m. And he was like, all right. And he went back to bed. I was like, this is fucking insane. Like,
Greg's been sending me pictures of Ben and Cole, just like their friendship forming. And it is the fucking best and funniest thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Ever.
Where's the monkey? Get the monkey.
Get the goddamn monkey.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, now every, you know, morning we wake up Benny. Or, well, Ben wakes up and then we're awake, right? But like, his door's closed. So when we come in there, we usually sing songs and come in there like in a conga line. And so it's me and Jen forever stomping in to say hello to him. But now we have Cole too. So we come in and then like I put Cole over into the crib and Ben gets down and hugs Cole. And it's like this adorable little thing. And then one of them chases each other through the other room, and that's the end of that.
Oh yeah, I showed like all of my family the video of Ben first seeing Cole.
Oh yeah. So we did a video. We did like your response was great of like, put it on TikTok. Yeah,
get
we
the
did.
Monkey.
We did it. We did a thing where when I brought him home, Jen took Ben down to the park, and so I came in and Jen had wrapped a box with a lid you could take off of it, and so put Cole in that, put the lid on when they were coming up, and then Ben came in and opened it, and like his face just lights up because this kid loves dogs, and I'm sure all kids love dogs, but I don't have any experiences with other kids, but like my son loves dogs in a way none of our friends' babies love dogs, so it's like he's very,
you have to
very
imagine
happy.
Though from a child's perspective,
yeah,
it's like having a life-size Andy to play with.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like the same size
ears.
Yeah.
Perspective, ears, proportions. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing's ears, man.
He's got big old ears. He's got big old paws. Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see. Yeah, but it's like it's crazy to have, you know, a puppy that is just like, yeah, you know, all fumbling and all loose, and they're cuddling. Great job with the B-roll here, Ben. That was early on in them getting together, and it's gotten way worse now. And then, yeah, it's been fun to see, you know, Cole come into his own at the house, obviously, because it's like a shock, obviously, to go from your family and your mom and your brothers and sisters and then just be in a random house with all of us. But he's been doing great at it, and, like, yeah, he's super well-trained already in terms of potty training and stuff like that. It's funny, I had said that Joey asked me this morning of how it was. I'm like, oh, super well-trained, potty training. It's like, he still has accidents here and there, but, you know, like, for the majority, gets it. And then, like, I went and did a Gregway, and I came out and checked my phone, and it was Jen, like, so we went for a walk for 2 hours, and he pooped in the cage, and he ate it, and now he's diarrhea in your hat. I'm like, okay, well, I'll shut down this. Sorry you're having a rough day back. I will get home as soon as I can. But no, Andy, it's been great. No, he's been awesome, and it's been, you know, cool to see him and Ben, and, like, Ben's saying words now. Ben's walking now.
Wild.
That's insane. You know what I mean? That's been insane. Yeah.
When are you going to bring Cole over here?
Well, I don't know, whenever. When the mood strikes, as they say. Mm-hmm. We were talking about maybe next week or even this week later in, just having Jen. She's still off this week. Mm-hmm. So maybe a field trip where she comes on over and hangs out with everybody. Says, hey, yeah, yeah.
We got to
hang out last night with Gary Whitta and his kids, but, like, his, you know, and whatever. That was awesome.
Yeah that's I went over, and it was fun because you guys had just put Ben down, and you're talking about saying words, and he was like asleep for
here
a little
we
bit
go.
And I was like,
here we go.
I was like, I'm just gonna be very quiet, and I hear out of my ear a little quiet, is that Uncle Nick? Uncle Nick here?
It didn't happen. This didn't
what's
happen.
Up Nick?
And I was like Ben, you gotta go to bed. And he's like, cool, Uncle Nick. So cool.
He didn't say anything.
You're so cool.
He's so cool. Is what he said. I know. It was like a baby joke or something, but I heard like a cool, like, this guy's this like vibe on vibe. Cool.
I believe that. I believe 100%.
Yeah. I heard that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around this table.
So far, each coming
to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you want to talk and listen to us talk, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of the show ad-free. You could get 38 exclusive episodes of bonus content. You could be watching live, like Murders with Mertens, a horror film podcast. Cody Hagler and Matthew Hidalgo all are. Of course, thank you so much for your support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. We couldn't do this without you. Remember, of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny podcast for free with ads over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. And of course, podcast services around the globe each and every week. Remember, two huge weeks to start 2023 for us. Of course, we are celebrating 8 years of Kind of Funny this Friday on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, we are crowning our game of the year for 2022 on Monday live. Everyone in person in the studio, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And eventually, of course, on the Gamescast podcast feed.
Yeah. And a quick thing about that, I don't know if we said this at the top, but we're doing the special live version where it's live for everybody in place of Games Daily.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing. Next Monday, it'll be at 10 a.m. live for everyone to be able to watch and have fun.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.